Okay, what I want to present here is a project I'm currently working on with Gavin Salama from Paris and Andrea Banfi from Amsterdam. And well, the aim of this project was to automate the resummation of infrared locks appearing in distribution of finite state observables in QCD. And well, we know that in QCD, a lot of information lies in the finite state. And the problem is really how to extract this information. So one powerful way is to study these jet observables. These are infrared and collinear shape observables which describe the topology, the energy and momentum flow in the final state. The master example is, for instance, the thrust. To compute the thrust distribution, you take all finite state momenta and compute the projection of momenta along all possible directions, and then you define the thrust axis as the axis which maximizes this projection of momenta. And then what happens is that if your finite state event looks like, well, it's very pencil-like, you have two well-columned jets in the finite state, this value of t is very close to 1. Or generally, 1 minus t is very small. While a planar or spherical events are characterized by a value of t, which is of the order of 1, but far away from 0. Well, far away from 1, t. So, and this is a very general property. That is, all these observables are constructed in such a way that whenever the observable is small, you're approaching the Born limit. In this case, here, just a QQ bar pair. And, all the studies of these observables, of course, are based on the perturbative predictions for distributions, generally. And so you can start doing a leading order calculation, order alpha, and you get something like this. And this can be done by hand, it's quite simple, or numerically. Then you can do a next leading order calculation, alpha squared correction, and this is what you get. And so you see that in the limit t to 0, both all fixed order predictions are divergent. And well, the subject of this seminar is really the description of this region, where you basically, you need to resum final state locks. So first, why do we really study these observables? Well, they are a good compromise between being simple enough that you can make very solid theoretical predictions, but they are still very sensitive to properties of QCD radiation, so you can learn a lot from the study of these observables. For instance, well, they can be used to measure the coupling constant of QCD and the running of the constant. You can use them to test the gauge group of QCD to measure the color factors. And also, I think most interestingly, they can be used to study non-perturbative corrections. So what I'm showing here, well, this is the broadening. It's a sum of transverse momenta. And this is the pure perturbative prediction, and the green one. And this is what happens when you add the non-perturbative corrections. So really, this is an analytical calculation of non-perturbative leading power corrections. So you really see that, you can understand something about the hadronization. So why do we have large locks? If you look at the probability that your observable V is less than a fixed value V, this has a divergent perturbative expansion. This means that for every emitted gluon, you have basically two locks, which are due to the soft and collinear divergences. Today's state of the art description of the observables include the resummation of leading locks, which are basically all alpha to the n log n plus 1 in the exponent, and all next to leading locks. And generally, then these resum predictions are matched to fixed order calculations. So how do you do these resummations? First of all, resummation is always based on factorization. So first you take the matrix element and the phase space and you want to factorize this. For instance, in the plus and minus two jets, you have in principle a quite complicated matrix element. But then you exploit a property of QCD radiation, which is angular ordering. And this allows you to replace this by just an independent emission picture. So basically, you have all independent emissions from the hard-borne partons. And of course, in QCD, this is generally not always true. You should account for gluon splittings. But basically, you can show to all orders that they do not contribute at leading and next to leading locks. So you can simplify this. And if you ask, well, if you're considering a different process, this picture, the picture is always the same. You have a Born structure and independent emissions from the Born structure. And then, this first part is really, of course, observable independent. But then you have to look at your particular observable, and you have to study it. You have to write the observable in terms of soft variables. So, for instance, energy and angles. And then the observable is generally defined with a theta function in integrated distributions. So you want to factorize the theta function, and here you just use a Mellin representation of the theta function, so that basically this sum becomes a product, and everything is really factorized. So you can write down what is the resumed answer, which is shown here. So you see you have a Mellin integral, and then you have, here you just reconstruct an exponent. You have your logs from the angular and energy integral. This is the real emission term, and this is the virtual subtraction, which tells you that the observable is really infrared finite. So this is, in principle, it's really quite simple. Of course, there are some subtleties. For instance, you have to take into account what is really the argument of the coupling. And of course, I mean, even really the exact boundaries here and so on. But what happens if you want to study a different observable? Generally, this first part remains unchanged, and what changes is this factorization. Usually, this factorization is not so simple. You have to introduce more than one Mellin integral, and things become really more complicated because, you have to introduce all the integrals and then to evaluate all these Mellin transforms. So this is an incomplete list of next leading log predictions, which have been computed in the last years. And you really see, on average, you have one paper per observable, and this is because every new observable requires some non-trivial calculation. So I think that, the current situation should be summarized as follows. Experimental studies are limited by the availability of theoretical calculations, analytical calculations. It is quite an error-prone business. That is, there are really many subtleties which have been understood only on the way. But there are really many phenomenological applications, so there is a need to automate these resummations. On the other hand, these resummations really exploit the same factorization techniques. So basically, you take the matrix element, and you use the independent emission picture, then you take your observable and you do all these Mellin integrals. And the origin of the logs is really the same. It's related to this infrared and collinear phase space. So it's possible really to automate these resummations. Now, the idea to automate resummation is the following. Suppose you have any observable, for instance, a broadening, which is a sum of transverse momenta. Then you define a simpler observable, which is basically just determined by the biggest emission. So it's basically the biggest transverse momentum. So what happens is that if you have just one soft collinear emission, the two observables are the same, of course. So this tells you that all double logs are the same to all orders, really. And also most of the single logs. On the other hand, this observable has a nice property, that the factorization for this observable is trivial. If you have a theta function here, it becomes a product of theta functions, by definition, really. So basically, you can resum this simple observable analytically. You could resum it analytically. And, the way we resum this simple observable is the following. We fix a Born event, and we emit, we simulate the emission of one additional soft and collinear gluon. And we assume that the observable can be written in this way. So basically a power-like behavior in Kt, exponentially decreasing rapidity, any azimuthal function. And then, well, we check whether this parameterization is correct, and numerically we can determine basically these numbers and this function. And this knowledge is really enough to, well, to determine this resumed simpler distribution, sigma s. Basically, you take the one gluon result and you exponentiate it in a naive way. And this really accounts for all double locks and most of the single locks. So the usual single locks due to hard collinear, soft large angle emissions, and the running of the coupling. But then, of course, well, if you want to resum your full observable, you need to somehow to account for the mismatch between the two. So basically, this one is based on vetoing single emissions, as if emissions were independent. But this is, of course, not true. So physically, you need to understand the kinematics, really, details of the kinematics in the final state. And mathematically, this amounts really to performing these Mellin integrals. And, well, we don't want to do Mellin integrals. We want to do this in a general way. So the way we do this is the following. Well, the aim is to compute the mismatch, basically, between this distribution, which we know analytically, and the full distribution. So we look at the differential distribution, and we simply introduce a convolution. Well, this is the probability of for the full observable to have a value v when the simpler one has a value vs. So this is just a convolution. But then what we do is the following. First, well, we want to expand this function. So, well, we exploit that we know this function analytically, so we can expand it, and we are allowed to expand it around the value of phi because the two observables are roughly the same, so the double logs are the same. So basically, if you expand this around the value of phi, you can basically extract this from the integral, and what you're left is basically this. Your distribution, the one you want to, your result is basically given by the simple distribution which you know times this correction factor. And this is basically just an integral with some weight of this probability. So the probability of having V for the full observable given Vs for the simpler observable. So this R prime is basically the logarithmic derivative of the double log Sudakov exponent. So this is a single log function, basically alpha log. So to compute this function, then what we do is basically the following. We fix again our Born configuration and we generate soft collinear emissions so that the first one determines the value of the simpler observable. Then we generate in principle an infinite number of emissions according well to a specific pattern and with a specific weight, and at the end we compute the full observable. So this allows you to compute this probability and therefore this function. And this is really observable independent. So at the end, this is basically the result. The resumed distribution at next leading log accuracy, well, it's given by the sum of subprocesses. This is the integral over the Born configurations. But essentially, it's just a product of two factors. One is basically, well, it's known given these numbers A, B, which can be computed numerically. So this is, in principle, it's known analytically. And this contains all double locks in these jet functions here, like soft large angle locks in this function here. You know that hard collinear emissions change the scale of the PDF, which is accounted for here. So this is the structure. And then you have, this must be multiplied by this correction factor. This is computed purely numerically, but it's by construction a pure next leading log function. So this is the structure of the result. Now, of course, well, this procedure does not apply to all possible observables in QCD. And for instance, while the observable should vanish in the Born limit, should be positive defined, we assume this specific parameterization of the observable should be infrared and collinear safe, should be global. Global means basically should be sensitive to emissions in all phase space. And additionally, it should be continuously global, which is a bit stronger requirement. It means that the dependence on KT should be always the same. And it should exponentiate. So this seems to be really a long list, but practically the limiting condition is the requirement of globalness. While all our other conditions are really satisfied by all observables which have been resumed. And, well, an essential feature of our program is the ability to test all these conditions numerically before performing the resummation, so that you really give an answer if you guarantee that the result is correct at next to leading log accuracy. So, I'd like to say something about the exponentiation, which is something quite new. And well, we know that some observables have exponentiating double logs and some do not.
It's clear what it means. So,
so the problem is, for instance, if you look at the jade, you see that the structure of the double log is simply not the expansion of an exponential. So for an observable like the jade, nobody knows how to resum double logs. So no way you can resum single logs, and therefore it's really important that an automated approach to resummation should be able to test the exponentiation numerically. So the way we do it is the following. Suppose you have n emissions. You can parameterize these emissions by a value lambda, so that the value basically of the observable with the emission is just lambda. This means that if you take the soft collinear limit, it means that lambda must go to zero, trivially. So normal infrared and collinear safety means that if you have n emissions and you add an additional one with this, where this argument goes to zero, this limit should be equal to, well, the value of the observable without the additional emission. This is normal infrared and collinear safety. Now we define this criterion, which is recursive infrared and collinear safety. And this adds two conditions. So one is that if you rescale all emissions with some parameter epsilon, then the value of the full observable should basically scale in the same way. So the scaling properties should basically not change whether you have one or many emissions. And then, well, after you took this limit, if you add one additional emission after doing this, again, this limit should be the same constant. So that the addition of a relatively much softer gluon should not change really the limit. And this is really the formal requirement for exponentiation. And basically, well, since you have you have under control the scaling properties, this allows you to translate restrictions on individual emissions into a restriction on an ensemble of emissions. And I think that, well, this condition of recursive infrared safety for exponentiation of logs is really the analog of normal infrared and collinear safety for fixed order predictions to be well defined. And, well, observables which do not satisfy this criterion are, for instance, the jade, as well known, but also a combination of products of event shapes, for instance, do not satisfy the condition. So, this is the name of our program, CESAR. And, well, currently, the big limitation is that it is limited to global observables. It has been tested against all resummations which have been done so far, and some results are currently used, have been used for the fits of alpha. And, well, it can be applied basically to E plus E minus to 2-3 jets, the IS to 1 plus 1, 1 plus 2 jets, Drellian, and hadronic digest production. So for these processes, there were resummations already. Well, here there were no resummations before. So I present some results here. Okay, so in hadronic digest production, basically you have two incoming QCD partons and two outgoing QCD partons jets. Okay. One problem you have is, well, from an experimental point of view, you can never make measurements close to the beam. So basically, usually you have a maximum rapidity at which you can measure particles. And this creates a problem with globalness because, well, we require explicitly that our observables should be sensitive to emissions everywhere. So there are two ways to overcome this. One quite trivial is, well, you take this cut as big as possible. And then you can define observables. For instance, you can look in the transverse plane and define a transverse thrust. Once you have this transverse thrust, you can look at radiation out of the plane which contains the beam and the transverse thrust axis, this thrust minor. And then you can show that predictions are still valid as long as this relation holds. So basically, as long as your observable is not too small. So this A and B are the, this is the KT dependence and the eta dependence. So these are numbers 1, 2, something like that, and this is this eta 0. So you can, make predictions, but not for too small values of phi, because otherwise you start become sensitive to radiation here. I think a more interesting solution is the following. You really cut out a big part of the phase space. So you really take eta 0 of the order of 1. But you modify the definition of the observable. So suppose you have the thrust, you add a term which is basically given by the sum of all transverse momenta in the region where you are looking at. Well, the point is that since the sum of all transverse momenta must be zero, if you have an emission in this region here, which you cannot see, still this sum of transverse momenta must be non-zero because of recoil effects. So basically, you are indirectly sensitive to emissions in the region where you are not making measurements because of recoil. So in this case, well, your observable is formally global because it is really sensitive to emissions everywhere. And one problem is that this function f, which describes this multiple emission effects, has a divergence. And, well, the reason for the divergence is the following. Usually, these observables are small because of a Sudakov effect. I mean, the observable is small because you do not have radiation. What happens here is the following. What can happen here is the following. This observable can be small, but you can have big transverse momenta, simply a cancellation between big transverse momenta. So basically, our master formula assumes a Sudakov double log effect, which is not correct, and the function f shows that this is not, shows this with a divergence, basically. But still, there is a big portion of phase space where you can make predictions. So I show some results now. So basically, before, during the summation, you test your observable. This is the you test a number of properties, and then you determine these numbers, the KT, eta, the azimuthal dependence, and this is just a normalization. Once you know these numbers, you have this single emission distribution. Then you compute this multiple emission function, which is a function of this R prime, a single log function. Basically, this is related to phase space. This is the region of very small values of V, and this is the region where V is large. So this function depends on the color configuration, and, for instance, here you see the effect of the divergence. So these are different. So this is a configuration gluon-gluon going to QQ bar. So this is where you're really more sensitive to radiation from the incoming, and therefore you see the divergence earlier. While this one is QQ bar going to gluon-gluon, so you will still have a divergence, but much later, basically. And this is how some predictions look like at the end for different subprocesses. This is done at TERRAN2, Tevatron-RAN2 regime, with some cuts on AT and ETA. And, you see the result strongly depends on the subprocess. This is really the effect of the Sudakov summation. And you see that, this region is not described properly. The distribution becomes negative. This is, of course, non-physical, and you need to match in this region to fix the calculations. Okay, maybe I show this plot mainly because I've been working on this in the last days. So, some time ago we computed some resummations and power corrections for free jet observables. And now experimentalists of LEP and here are starting to look at this, and they ask us to provide some plots. So what I'm showing here is the following, some out-of-plane distribution. Basically, you select at HERA, you select events with two jets in the final state using a cut in Y-cut. And then once you have two well-defined jets, you can measure the radiation out of the plane containing the jets and the beam. And so you see, well, again, this is the leading order, which is divergent. This is the Resan prediction, which becomes negative here. And this is what happens if you do the matching. Then once you have this, you can also add the non-perturbative corrections. And basically, they shift the distribution, which and this is shown here. And, well, I think this study is extremely interesting, basically because these non-perturbative corrections are computed in a dispersive approach. And this has been tested up to today only in two jet observables. And I think testing this in a free jet environment is all but trivial. So I think this is interesting. So before concluding, why do we really bother about doing these resummations? We know that Monte Carlos, like Herwig Pizia, already have many resummation ingredients, basically they have a Parton showering. So the point is that if you take results from this Monte Carlos, basically, it is difficult to extract a clean answer. There are always subleading effects, which are in a way hard to estimate. The resummation is mixed with other physics, basically non-perturbative cutoffs. And uncertainties have really a variety of origins. And this is basically also what makes a matching difficult in these cases. While our predictions basically, they do not contain subleading locks, so the matching is in principle straightforward. They are purely perturbative, and then you add some non-perturbative corrections, any hadronization model basically you can apply. You can use them to do the usual studies of factorization and renormalization scale dependence. But of course, they are limited to a well-defined class of observables. And it is really, a class of observables for which we do really have a good understanding, I think. So the main result of this project now, I think, is to have a rigorous procedure to perform these resummations automatically. And I think it's the first time that resummations are done in a computer way. So the only input you need is the Born process and the number of final state jets and the definition of the observable with a computer routine. And I think the most interesting applications from a theoretical point of view, I think it's this criterion of infrared and Collina, recursive infrared and Collina safety is very important. And experimentally, having resummations basically for Tevatron observables. What is work in progress is really the release of the first version of the program. And the to-do list and wish list includes automating the matching with fixed order. Basically, we want to use NLOJET++ to do this. And the extension to non-global observables and eventually inclusion of mass effects.